Early in the most recent of ESPN's 30 for 30 documentaries, former NBA player Bernard King, standing with some children before a housing project in the Fort Greene section of Brooklyn, talks about his background.
Well, you know, I grew up in this building on the 12th floor, and I made it all the way to the NBA.
You did?
First team I played on, we won the tournament, and I'm excited, I'm proud. I came around the corner, and next thing I know was met with a punch to my face in my eye. They stole my trophy.
King played in the NBA from 1977 until 1993. He was recently elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame, but the documentary is less concerned with his rise to stardom than it is with the friendship that developed between King and the fellow who starred with him at the University of Tennessee, Ernie Grunfeld, who was born in Romania and grew up in the Forest Hills section of New York. Joining me is the director of Bernie and Ernie, Jason Hare. Welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Bernard King and Ernie Grunfeld both grew up in New York. They were both recruited to play basketball at the University of Tennessee during the 70s, where they became the celebrated Ernie and Bernie show. How good was that show?
Well, they were certainly the most prolific scoring duo of their time. Over the course of their 3 years together, they averaged 50 points a game combined together. And they were a national sensation. They were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Bernard was SEC Player of the Year for each of his 3 years at Tennessee, and Ernie was a superstar in his own right. Overall, that era was probably the most celebrated in the history of Tennessee basketball.
In the film, Bernard King acknowledges his inexperience in matters beyond basketball. When the assistant coach from Tennessee took him out to dinner, King had to look at the people at the other tables to understand how to behave in a restaurant. Was Ernie Grunfeld aware of the challenges with which his teammate was trying to deal?
He wasn't. And the irony of it is that the challenges were based in the home life that Bernard was subjected to as a kid. He was taught to just go into the back room of his apartment along with his five brothers and sisters. And if he had a problem, he was told to go into the back of the apartment and deal with it himself. He was raised to believe that you keep all of that inside. You don't burden other people with your problems. You don't go to anyone for help. So Ernie was arguably the closest teammate of his through his entire life, and certainly at Tennessee he was, and Ernie had no idea even while he was at Tennessee that Bernard had come up in such an environment.
Ernie Grunfeld was spectacularly successful and ridiculously popular at Tennessee. The film establishes that. Did you have any sense that Bernard King resented his white teammate's circumstances?
Not openly. He didn't resent him socially because Bernard was very comfortable being on his own, being an introvert, and, you know, that's where his drinking problem developed. He kept to himself on and off the floor. Ernie made the Olympic team in 76, and Bernard did not. Hmm. Bernard was crushed that he didn't make it, but that's just more of a commentary on Bernard's competitive fire. He's one of those people who needs to feel slighted in order to optimize his performance. Luckily for them and for the film, their friendship didn't suffer.
Ernie Grunfeld had a shorter and less distinguished pro career, but is it fair to say he was a guy who made the most of his opportunities despite the fact that he never became an NBA star the way he'd been a star at Tennessee?
Absolutely. Ernie was an aggressive guy. He was a hustler. He was a great team guy, a great clubhouse guy, but he didn't have the raw talent to compete with the Magics and the Birds and the other greats of that era. Bernard did. So he had a great career. I think he played for 9 or 10 seasons. And then he went on to be an assistant coach for the Knicks. He went on to announce games for the Knicks as a radio analyst. And then he went on to run the Knicks, and as well as the Bucks and the now the Wizards. He's the president of the Wizards. I am of the belief that he's the only guy to grow up watching a team, then play for that team, then coach that team, then announce that team's games, and then run that team.
Finally, though obviously set in basketball, as you have suggested, this film is about friendship, and Bernard King makes that clear toward the end.
Ernie holds a very special place in my heart and always will hold that place. We have a brotherly kinship, and the friendship that Ernie and I have will never change. Will never change.
That had to be a huge attraction in making this film, I would think.
Yeah, it was great to see. And you know what? Gathering old photos, getting their family members to tell me some stories and dredging up all this old stuff really kind of jogged their memory, and it spurred a few conversations with them on the phone. that took place over the course of hours. I think it reminded them of how close they really are and how much history they share. So to have them both sit there and express to me some heartfelt feelings about their four decades of friendship was really fulfilling.
Jason Hare is the director of the ESPN documentary Ernie and Bernie, which premiered on Tuesday and will air on ESPN through December. Jason, thank you very much for speaking with me.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Music Emporium, for 45 years offering collectible boutique and vintage acoustic guitars. TheMusicEmporium.com. And Eton, offering the American Red Cross Radio Line a portable solar-powered radio with cell phone charger and flashlight for emergencies or travel. Now at Radio Shack. This is NPR.